From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, June 24th. Coming up, before Robert Prevost was elected Pope Leo XIV, he wrote a note commenting on an Illinois law passed nearly 15 years ago. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul joined three other attorneys general at a congressional forum yesterday to discuss their efforts to combat unlawful executive orders. In his opening remarks, Raoul took aim at the Trump administration's tariffs on foreign imports and rolling back DEI policies. He says the Trump administration has chosen to ignore the Constitution and federal law.
The president has enormous power, but in our democracy, there are limits on that power. And we have challenged instances where the administration has clearly crossed a line.
Raoul is involved in more than a dozen lawsuits against the Trump administration, challenging policies on tariffs, immigration, federal employee firings, and healthcare research cuts. A national soccer festival is coming to the Rantoul Sports Complex next month. IPM's Colin Highslope has the story.
Soccer Wars is a unique competition in a sport that's growing more popular in the U.S. The festival heading to the Rantoul Athletics Facility will feature goalkeeping competitions, as well as smaller-scale matches. Robert White is with Experience Champaign-Urbana, which is helping put on the event. He says Soccer Wars is a major attraction that'll draw crowds from all over.
There's going to be a big draw. You know, we're pulling from Indiana, we're pulling from Missouri, Kentucky, and then just the people within the state. So, yeah, they're going to be The idea is that it's going to bring a lot of people from out of the state into the community that would normally not be here.
The event is part of a 3-year partnership that'll feature competitors aged 8 to 18. Spectators can attend Soccer Wars on July 12th and 13th free of charge. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Experience Champaign-Urbana is a financial supporter of Illinois Public Media. The budget state lawmakers approved last month includes funding to support construction of a recreational trail in East Central Illinois. IPM Student Newsroom's Caitlin Devitt has more.
Once it's complete, the Kickapoo Rail Trail will be nearly 25 miles long, extending from Urbana to Oakwood. The path runs along the right-of-way of an old railroad. Jeff Yockey is board chair for the Trails of the Grand Prairie, a nonprofit organization that advocates for rails-to-trails projects. Speaking in St. Joseph, he says converting unused train tracks can create new public attractions, and that can boost local economies.
We had last year a tour group of 140-some riders, and they came through here just for lunch. That's 140 hungry people all ready to spend $20, you know, and that's just one group on one day.
The final trail is expected to be done by next year. I'm Caitlin Devitt, IPM News.
The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign has named the winners of its Freshman Athletes of the Year Awards. IPM's Colin Highslope has the story.
Illinois men's basketball player Kasparis Yakachonis joined co-winners Chloe Cho and Melissa Wolschlager as Illini Freshman of the Year. Cho recorded 16 titles in gymnastics and won Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Wolschlager was a first-team All-American in the heptathlon, finishing in fourth place at the NCAA Outdoor Championships. And Yakachonis was the star player of Illini men's basketball this past season, leading the team in multiple categories. He's expected to go in the first round of the NBA draft later this week. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Illinois men's basketball player Kasparis Yakachonis joined co-winners Chloe Cho and Melissa Wolschlager as Illini Freshman of the Year. Still to come, before Robert Prevost was elected Pope Leo XIV, he wrote a note commenting on an Illinois law passed nearly 15 years ago. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny and hot with a slight chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 95 degrees. High humidity levels make it feel like 100 to 105 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of a thunderstorm and a low of 75 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot with a slight chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 94 degrees. High humidity levels make it feel like 100 to 105 degrees, with a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 74 degrees, south wind 5 miles per hour. And for Thursday, mostly sunny and hot with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 95 degrees and a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, the U.S. Supreme Court has long made it harder to sue news outlets for defamation, but there's a long-running conservative campaign to overturn that precedent. All that is the subject of a new book called Murder the Truth. We'll talk with the author, plus the consolidation or closure of small-town local news in Illinois. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Since his election as the first American pope, Pope Leo XIV has been public about his Chicago roots. But less is known about his political views, particularly when it comes to local issues. Well, we now have a glimpse into what the pope thinks about one major Illinois law passed nearly 15 years ago. State House reporter Mawa Iqbal spoke with Melba Lara about a recent discovery she made.
So, Mawa, you requested some public records from the governor's office. Tell us what you were looking for and what you found.
Yeah, so when Robert Prevost, you know, was first named pope, we were learning so much about his Chicago roots and his upbringing, you know, especially about his baseball team preferences, right? And so I felt like it'd be interesting if we put in a public records request for any emails to the governor's office or from the governor's office that have the word Prevost in them. But I didn't really know what we'd get in return. I know that several of our reporters have asked different politicians around Illinois if they'd ever known him or had interacted with him. But no one really did, or at least not very well. But what ended up happening with this records request was we got something from March of 2011, and it was essentially a letter that was submitted through an online portal on the governor's website addressed to then-Governor Pat Quinn, basically thanking him for abolishing Illinois' death penalty. And it was signed by Robert F. Prevost.
That's so interesting. So before he became Pope Leo XIV, he contacted the governor's office. How surprised were you?
I was pretty surprised, but you know, it is one of those things where a lot of Catholic groups and Catholic organizations at the time were lobbying Pat Quinn and the legislature to push for this law that would eliminate the death penalty. But as far as, you know, Prevost goes, we knew very little about what he thinks about local politics. I mean, we know that he voted and pulled a Republican ballot in a couple of elections, but we didn't know who he voted for. And ever since he actually became pope, you know, there's been a social media account from him that's been taken down that had some posts critical of the Trump administration and J.D. Vance for the immigration policies. But that's all we knew at that point.
Now, I know that you spoke with former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn about this fine. How did he react? Did he already know about this note?
Yeah, he had no idea. he had immediately asked me and like multiple times throughout our phone call to like text him a copy of the note. And he said he was going to frame it. We actually do have a photo. One of our Sun-Times photographers went out to meet Quinn at church on Sunday, and he had a framed copy of it. And he was showing it to his church leader. So, you know, he definitely reveres the Pope, and he was really excited when he found out about this note. You know, he said the Pope was a man of conscience, and he's someone who will do right by all groups of people. Quinn, you know, grew up Catholic, and he attended Fenwick Catholic School in Oak Park. And he was telling me that Catholicism and the church's leaders who were, you know, part of his formative years were really greatly informed his moral compass and how he approached his role as governor, and then certainly how he approached, you know, whether to abolish the death penalty or not.
We do know now that Quinn wrestled with whether to abolish Illinois' death penalty. Talk about what receiving this note meant to him.
Yeah, so it was pretty much finishing what one of his predecessors, Governor George Ryan, had started. So it was basically Governor Ryan who had cleared Illinois' death row and then put a moratorium in place on the death penalty several years before Quinn actually abolished the penalty. And he said that one case in particular spoke to him, where Anthony Porter spent 16 years in prison and then was later exonerated. So, you know, like Quinn and Ryan were definitely political rivals, but this was one of the few things that they saw eye to eye on. And he said that, you know, even after Ryan's passing earlier this year, that he really respected Ryan for this. But it's interesting because Quinn was saying that he had spoke to several famous people like activists and actors, Martin Sheen and Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa, you know, who had thanked him for passing this legislation. But at the end, he does say that, you know, you can't beat a message from the Pope, and that was pretty cool.
Mawa, thanks for bringing us the details on your research on this.
Thank you.
State House reporter Mawa Iqbal talking with Mel Ballara in Chicago about Robert Prevost, the future Pope Leo, and the letter he wrote to Governor Pat Quinn. In 2011, when he wrote the letter, Prevost was serving as the Prior General of the Order of St. Augustine, based in Rome. Before that, he had served as a provincial prior for the Augustinian Order in Chicago. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Caitlin Devin, Isabella Nieto, Colin Highslope, Mawa Iqbal, and Mel Ballara. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.